Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Just now, when I was giving you to take three refuges and five precepts, I felt quite touched just by these five precepts alone. When I think of the many problems in the world, there's so many problems in the world happen due to wrong view. Just this one single precept, do you find this common elsewhere? Yeah, in some part in Hinduism, not killing is part of our teaching. In Jainism, then they also emphasize on non-killing. Then it is a Buddha's teaching. The Buddha gave a most balanced perspective on non-killing. Yes, no doubt we cannot stop the problems of the world by just preventing beings from dying. It is not possible because they have their karma. But by observing Panatipata Veramani, non-killing, we stop increasing the causes of suffering in the world in this aspect. Look at the world around. So much killing, wars. In the name of religions, in the name of race, in the name of nation. What happened? Let's ask ourselves, what happened? Only one reason only. Really goes, if you go down into the root, it's only one reason. Not having correct understanding of the nature of life. This we call wrong view. It is a pity. It is a pity that people don't know. While they are searching for happiness, they want a sense of security. They want to feel safe. But they are creating all causes of insecurity, all causes of danger, all causes of going down and down in the cycle of birth and death. Down to where? To the woeful realms, animal realms. Asuras, so much anger people, they get reborn in Asura, as Asuras. The woeful realms, like ghosts, but they are suffering, with suffering so much anger. And then animals, people indulge in so much sensual desire. Animals, and hell. And that's the worst. That's the worst. What happened? Isn't that every being want happiness? Isn't that they all want happiness? They all want. But beings are creating causes of suffering while they are searching for happiness. Why? A wrong view only. There are so many religions in the world. How many religions have these first precepts? Just this first precept. Many people like to talk about the nice things. Well, all religions are the same. We are all the same. Yeah, we like to praise. We like to say the diplomatic words. But is it true? Is it true all religions are the same? Then why all these religious people, in the name of religions, in the name of their belief, so they create so much suffering and so much causes of suffering to themselves? Let's ponder upon this. It is all because of not having a right view. We do know what is life and how life came about and where life, all our lives are heading based on what causes we cultivate now and where we are heading. Not the same. Just this Panati Pata Veramani, not the same. You don't find it common among all the religions. So if the teaching doesn't involve non-killing, how can people stop killing? Is there any basis, scientific basis for racism, for nationalism? Let's look at what is nature of life taught by the Buddha. Let's look at what the Buddha taught. The Buddha said, samsara, rounds of birth and death, the cycle of suffering, birth and death. And if we really know what is samsara, what is the cycle of birth and death, do you still attach to the idea, I am what race, Chinese, Malays, Indians, white, black? Do we still attach to that? No. Because in the cycle of birth and death, and this is verifiable by our self-direct experience, we don't need to believe. We just need to meditate enough to see for ourselves. And then, you will notice, one life a human, another life maybe a deva, maybe animals, or maybe a ghost. There is a strong mobility in different realms, change. When the Buddha was born, was appeared in the world, then the population of deva realms increased. Because more human get reborn in the deva realms because of the wholesome deeds caused by the presence of the Buddha. When the world go down, it degrade in morality, then the population in the deva realms also decrease because more and more people, beings, exhaust the good karma and then more bad karma are accumulated. So, this is just this one thing. If everybody, or at least the leaders, the top people who want to lead the world, lead the country, if only they understand rebirth, if you want to create causes of suffering in the name of race, a nation, or anything, no. Life is so short, for a few decades only. Even if you are lucky, we live up to the full lifespan, human lifespan. How long? 80 years? 75? 70 years? 80 years? 90 years? Some 100 over. So short. And yet, in the name of race, we create so much. People create so much suffering in the world. Look at what happened in Ukraine, what happened in Gaza. All in the name of this race against that race. And all believe in God. So many of them believe in one God, one creator God. But everyone believes the God is on their side. Isn't it strange? But for the Buddhists, for the practitioners, this is very clear, crystal clear. There's no substance in there. In all these causes of suffering, the foundation on which they build their defilements, they incur all the defilements and causes of suffering. The foundation is not real. It's an illusion. So now, and another thing that people don't see and they create all sorts of causes of suffering is because they don't understand and they don't see the law of cause and effect, the power of karma. People don't see. Half belief, or something, not even half belief, not even quarter belief, totally unbelief. They don't believe. So, as a result, in the effort to please the so-called creator, they fight. You believe God is on your side, the other also believe God is on their side. How can it be? Something must be wrong. So, what do we do? What is most needed in this current era? What is most needed? There's no way to solve the world problem of the world if People who try to find the solution do not see. Blind leading the blind. You see, the world leaders, they believe they have the answers. They believe they have the answers. But what happened to these very intelligent people? More and more suffering are created. In the effort to solve problems, to overcome suffering, more suffering are created. How can it be so effortful and yet more harm are caused? Now, what can we do? Yeah, maybe this, the real process is not the fast one. The real work is not the fast one. It's not by changing the world and make the world perfect, then we perfect ourselves. No. The Buddha taught a pragmatic, achievable way. That is, to solve our own problems. And once you can solve a problem, you are qualified, capable to help the world. The problem of the world is they don't see. So what is this seeing? That means this seeing is important. It's like when you have no light. When you have no light. So, blind leading the blind. Oh, we are running against each other. In the effort to rush outside the safety door. We want to get out from the safety door. But because we don't see, then all are fighting for freedom, for liberty, for safety. At the end, we knock at each other in the effort to find security. Because we don't see how nature works. Because humans don't see how nature works. And now the Buddha teaches this. The Buddha taught about what? Nature law, Dhamma. Sannidhiko akaliko. Ehi pasiko opanaiko pachatang veditapo vinyuhi. Well expounded. Every relevant aspect, needed aspect for liberation, the Buddha taught. And the teaching of the Buddha, self-evident. How? Yes, it requires some price to pay. Not that Dhamma is difficult to see. It is that people don't pay any price and want to know Dhamma. Dhamma can be seen. The teaching of the Buddha is not meant for belief. Not meant for belief. It's meant for direct seeing. Yatha bhutang jnana dasanam. In the first sutta, Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha said this. If the Tathagata, the Buddha recalled himself, Tathagata. If the Tathagata did not see the Four Noble Truths in its three rounds and 12 aspects. Okay, you can read up. 12 aspects. The Four Noble Truths. Then if he did not see it with wisdom as they really are, he would not declare himself an enlightened being as Bodhisattva Buddha. But because the Buddha has experience and seen the Four Noble Truths in its three rounds and 12 aspects, then as they really are, with wisdom. Yatha bhutang jnana dasanam, then he declared himself to be fully enlightened. See, this is the key. The Buddha's teaching is meant for yatha bhutang jnana dasanam. Jnana is yatha bhutang, as they are. Not fancy, not inference, not imagining, not believing, as they are. Jnana, insight. Dasanam, seeing. Seeing things as they really are with wisdom. So when the Buddha talked about rebirth, he did not ask us to believe in that. He asked us to see for ourselves. When the Buddha talked about karma and the force of karma, the karma power, the Buddha did not tell us to believe. To see for ourselves. This is even clearer in Kalama Sutta, or the proper name is Kesamuti Sutta. Because the sutta was given in Kesamuti. They say, according to the scholar, it's somewhere near New Delhi. I'm not sure. I didn't check, I'm not a scholar. But so many that they see. The people, they are very inquisitive. Very inquisitive. So they ask the Buddha about why these people teach like that, why they teach like that. Then the Buddha taught Kesamuti Sutta, which is more popularly known as Kalama Sutta. And in the West, Kalama Sutta is declared, the Western, they like to call it, the charter for free thinking. Because the Buddha did not seek to force everyone to believe in his ways. Because why? If your teaching is so clear, verifiable, can be experimented upon, you can practice to know for yourself, why make people believe? The Buddha did not attempt to make the Kalamas people believe. So, in the suttas, I show you, in our chanting book, every 2 weeks, we recite this sutta once. Okay? The Buddha said very clearly, 10 qualities. When the Kalama people, they ask the Buddha, when we have this teaching of all the various people, some people say like this, some say another. So what are we going to believe? Who is telling the right thing? Who is telling the wrong thing? The Buddha said, Alam hiwo kalama kankitum alam vichikichitum. It is alright that you have doubt. You have doubt. Kankaniyewa panavo thane vichikicha upanna. You have doubt towards what is actually supposed to be doubtful. Eta tumhe kalama. This. Ma anu sawena ma paramparaya. Ma itikiraya ma pitaka sampadanena. Ma takka hetu ma naya hetu. Ma akara parivitakena. Ma dikini jana khantiya ma babarupathaya. Ma samanuno garuti. Come, Kalamas. Do not go by oral tradition, nor by lineage of teaching, nor by hearsay, nor by a collection of scriptures. Do not go by means, don't rely on this for your belief. It doesn't mean they are all wrong. It can be correct, it can be wrong, but don't rely on that. Okay? Then the most, even more shocking, very shocking, nor by logical reasoning, nor by inferential reasoning, nor by examination by reason, nor by acceptance of view after pondering it. That means this is the first four ways is say the scriptures, hearsay or whatever. These are always people rely upon. Say this is what I hear, I heard it from my grandfather. I heard it from someone. And then this is given in the text. This is what people use to rely on for belief. The Buddha said no. That is not conclusive for you to place a belief. It doesn't mean they are wrong. The Buddha didn't mean that. The Buddha mean that it's not conclusive to say that they are correct. And then for four ways of reasoning, thinking power. The first one, it refers to Sutamaya Panya. You know, our knowledge by receiving, by hearing, by reading. Whatever knowledge you acquire by this way is Sutamaya Panya. Then the second four category, the Buddha say, not enough to be your conclusive, to be your foundation for your belief, is thinking, all sorts of thinking. You can go, why, how it is, it doesn't matter. It all come classified under Chintamaya Panya, thinking wisdom. It is not conclusive. Not conclusive. Then the last two. More by seeming competence of a speaker. Okay? The speaker shows some magical power. Okay? This is not conclusive. Or you think this ascetic is our teacher. Just because of this is my teacher, what he says must be correct. Even this is not conclusive. That means practically the Buddha ruled out all foundation for belief in the world, almost. There's nothing to believe. What to believe? No, the Buddha didn't say we have nothing to believe. The Buddha said, Yara tume kalama atanawa janayatha. Ime dhamma kusala, ime dhamma sawaja, ime dhamma vinyugaraita, ime dhamma samatha. Samadina ahitaya dukaya samvatanti iti atatume kalama pachaheyata. He says, but when Kamala kalamas, kalama refers to audience, they are the kalamas. You know for yourself. See, the Buddha was atanawa janayatha. You know for yourself. What does it mean? It means you directly know it. These things are unwholesome. These things are blameworthy. These things are censured by the wise. These things, if accepted and undertaken, lead to harm and suffering. Then you should abandon them. Okay, so this is directly knowing. Okay, first is easier, conceptual one. Oh, these are wholesome. People say this is blameworthy, this is censured by the wise, it causes problem. Blameworthy because it causes problem. Okay, but if these things are censured by the wise, these things, if accepted or undertaken, lead to harm and suffering. When you directly know, what does it mean? Practice and meditate until you see for yourself that when you do this, you'll get this. You do this harmful act, you'll get the harmful things. Similarly, the Buddha's later in this sutta repeat altogether 3 times. The same thing they repeat another time. Another time the Buddha said, when you see for yourself, atta nava janyata, ime dhamma kusala, ime dhamma anavajja, ime dhamma vinyu pasata, ime dhamma samata, samadina hitaya sukhaya samvatanti iti atta tume kalama upasambhaja viharayata. But when kalamas, you know for yourselves, these things are wholesome. These things are blameless. These things are praised by the wise. These things, if accepted and undertaken, lead to welfare and happiness. Then you should live in accordance with them. See? The Buddha said, when atta nava janayata, when you know for yourself, you see all those things that the system of relying on texts or scriptures or stone carved, stone, in the text, scriptures carved on a stone or whatever, or on palm leaves, not conclusive. The Buddha didn't say, throw away all these things. No, he said, not conclusive. Then, all the reasoning, sutamaya panya, thinking, wisdom, not conclusive. Atta nava janayata, when you see for yourself. Okay, from conceptual level, you see for yourself, onto ultimate level. That is bhavanamaya panya. That is the real strength of Buddha's teaching. What is this real strength? Verifiable. The Buddha's teaching, I call it, I no longer call it philosophy. Those days when I was young, as a teenager. And people say, oh, is it philosophy? Is Buddhism science? No, I don't know. So, but because still have some kind of belief, it seems, how many people know Einstein's theory of relativity? But everyone believes it's true, it's correct. How many people know? How many people can understand that? Try to read up. Very few. Only some people who really did the research, or the top ranking scientists. Okay, they have a better grasp of theory or relativity. In fact, still today, there are some people still inquiring and making research about it. But because certain things has been proven by science, then people, majority of the people in the world believe it, accept it. Because the wise, the intelligent ones, they know this thing to be reliable. Or to some extent, may not be absolute, to some extent. At least to the extent that has been proven by science. And what about the Buddha's teaching? Same. Exactly the same. All aspects of the Buddha's teaching can be directly experienced
verified and proven.
This is even more significant in this era when people are lost, where they have all sorts of doubts. They are so uncertain about what is right in the world. But because the teaching, all most religions talk about belief and keep brainwashing people, and people need some kind of solace, some kind of refuge in the mind. Our life is too hard. So the belief system still has its market. Very popular. Why? Even some top-ranking scientists, they feel they are so cool, but they need some emotional satisfaction, some kind of spiritual refuge by instinct. So they still go to something that they don't understand, and well, I believe it. But this problem can be solved in Buddhism. No doubt, it is not easy for everyone to work up to that level of verifying all aspects of the Buddha's teaching. But same like science, as long as some people, a portion of the population, work hard and prove the Buddha's teaching by direct experience, verify it. At least these two things, rebirth and karma, the power of karma, cause and effect. Just these two things. And based on the capable, the top-ranking, intelligent people, yeah, the Buddha says the teaching is to be realized by the wise. You know? Pacatang vedita bovinyo hiti. To be realized by the wise. So, if we have the wise people in the world worked out this system taught by the Buddha, then the practice, the Buddha's training, mind training, we call bhavana, the mind training that can directly sharpen to the level that can see this teaching of the Buddha, including Nibbana, then the world got hope. Because every successful case has an influence sphere. And there will be a lot of people tend to walk into the right belief, the right faith. Because people who have a right seeing and right insight, they will be surrounded by a number of people who have right faith. I know it is. It cannot do away with faith. Because before you come to realize, at least you must have some kind of belief that panatipata veramana is important. Don't kill. If I kill, you know, my morality is bad. How am I going to cultivate higher wisdom, higher concentration and wisdom? So because of that, some kind of faith is necessary. But at least you see, you look up to the wise people who live their life properly, happily. And everyone who enjoys Dhamma happiness tend to influence the world. But this era when people have all doubt, uncertain, where am I heading to? Then this method of verifying the Buddha's teaching need to be kept alive, not only for ourselves and for future generation. As long as we keep this alive, the teaching of the Buddha cannot vanish from the earth. There will be Aryas. From time to time, Aryas appearing in the world. Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, Arahant. And as long as people verify the Buddha's teaching by their direct experience, by the transformation of their life, we see how a person overcome wrong view, overcome evil, overcome bad character, overcome anger, sensual lust, and eventually all jealousy, pride can be overcome due to seeing reality, seeing the nature of life. Then the teaching spread. Because people see the good things. The good is that everyone, actually all beings, long for happiness. And nobody wants suffering. In fact, just this alone will be a very crucial, what we call, I would call it fundamental logic for us to spread the Buddha's teaching, to make more people see the value, the power of Dhamma. Because the power of Dhamma, the most valuable power, is the power to overcome suffering and to realize higher, reliable happiness. The happiness that is happy at a stage of causes and at a stage of effects. Both happy when you're creating the cause and you are creating the effect. When you meditate, when you give, when you observe morality, are you happy? Yes. When you're happy, now you're happy when you are committing the causes, but when the result ripens, you will be happy. For example, when the biggest exam in our life comes to us, you know when is it? You know that? Can guess? When is the biggest exam in our life that no one can avoid? You have to face it.
Dying.
Yes, you get it right. Dying. No one can escape this exam. I call it the biggest exam in our life because in all other exams, the fruit of the exam, well, you get, your life go up a bit, now wealthy, just like that only. You know, if you miss also, you cannot die. You fail the exam, you won't die. But the last stage of our life, dying moment, it is so important in determining our next rebirth. So if we fail the exam, we die with a blur mind, die with a lot of attachment to the world, a lot of remorse, a lot of anger, a lot of fear, agitation, where will we be reborn? Know the signs. If you meditate enough, you will see this yourself. How the signs of rebirth take place. When dying moment, if you don't take care, then the next birth, then the beginning of the whole life. This is science. This is not belief. Verifiable by yourself. This is science. So if more important people come to realize how it works, do you think they still want to remain racist? They still want to create war, fighting, anger? No. We don't need to force people to be kind. Don't need to force people to be good. They will be good for them, for the sake of themselves. By their own initiative, they will be good. Why? Because all beings love themselves. All beings, without fear. Even for the person who wants to commit suicide, he or she loves himself or herself. Why? Because I don't want to suffer so much. I die, I kill myself. And that only. So such people, they don't want to be reborn again, they will be reborn again. Because of the wrong view, attachment to non-existence, thinking that dying, everything is finished. So there are a few things more, which I believe it is very important in this modern era if we want to help beings to know the Buddha's teaching. I think we need to make good use of the strength of the Buddha's teaching. From belief to knowing. We try to practice the Buddha's teaching not only at the level of belief. Yes, some kind of belief at the beginning. At least you must give ourselves benefit of doubt that killing might have bad karma. Might have bad karma. So because of that, I don't want. In fact, if you read more about Kalama Sutta at the later part, the Buddhas actually say, yeah, suppose there's no next life, suppose there's no cause and effect, you do good, you still have the good result. At least here. Why the Buddha says suppose? Because he was talking to these Kalamas who were not yet Buddhists. So the Buddha says, yeah, it doesn't matter you believe or don't believe, but at least it is. When you do good, you are safe. When you do bad, What happens if there is rebirth? If there is, there will be rebirth, there will be bad result from the bad action. What will happen? So better play safe. Yeah. The Buddha was using this approach in the later part of Kalama Sutta. So now we try to know atta nama janayata according to Kalama Sutta standard. Try to know by direct experience. You know it for yourself. This is a job of our Buddha, as all Buddhists. Because why? Why as a Buddhist we have this duty to be a Christian or other religion? So easy. You just need to believe and then throw the job to the God. But the God did everything for you? No. We have to do the job ourselves. So why? Because ignorance, avijja, ignorance is the biggest cause of suffering. Because of ignorance, all kinds of causes of suffering are created, are committed, and then we suffer. So we have no excuse for Buddhists to say, well, I have no time to practice, I have no time to conquer my ignorance. Yeah, it is okay, I can put it aside. No. We have, everyone of us, if we love ourselves, we have a duty to conquer and eliminate our ignorance, our delusion. We owe ourselves a duty. If we love ourselves, if we don't want suffering. Some people say, I don't know. When you don't know, yes. The law says, well, that's not a crime if you don't know or by accident. But in the law of cause and effect, in the natural law, ignorance, when you close your eyes, you walk towards a cliff and you fall down. You say, I didn't know. I didn't know there's a cliff. I walk over and I fall down. Gravity will not tell you, I noticed that your eyes were covered, you didn't see, you were sleepwalking, into the cliff, and so I don't pull you down. No. Gravity won't tell you like that. This is nature. So we owe ourselves a big duty to understand how nature works. So now, in this era, it's more important we tap into the science of the Buddha's teaching. This is the beauty of the Buddha's teaching. It is science. It is not philosophy. It is not something the Buddha thought out for the good of humanity. No. The Buddha saw for himself that this is the nature. This is natural laws. So the Buddha taught to us, tell us this is what I discovered and how to atta nama janayata, see it for yourself. How to yatha bhutang jnana dasana, see them as they really are with wisdom. So this is the first thing, the very beautiful thing about the Buddha's teaching is reality. Second, verifiable, atta nama janayata. Third, in the Dhammanusati, we say, swakata bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko. Come and see. That's why we don't need to be so urgent, come and believe. No, we don't need to frighten people into believing in the Buddha's teaching. No need. Just invite people, come and see for yourself. The method is there. It's up to you whether you want to invoke the method for your own benefits or not. So the Kalama Sutta, I've told, yes sir? And the Buddha's teaching is always pragmatic. Always pragmatic. Because we don't work hard for fancy. We work hard for practical result. No doubt, we also have our emotions as a Buddhist. We have metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, appreciative joy, mudita, and upekkha, equanimity. This is our emotions, our balance, our EQ. But we all go for result. It is not wrong when we as a Buddhist we go for result. It is wrong when we attach to result without working on the causes. So don't make it a mistake. Some people say, oh, now I want to be so detached, so I don't care about result, I just practice, I don't care about result. That is not right. That's not wise. The Buddha said, sattaka sampajanya, clear comprehension of purpose. Sapaya sampajanya, clear comprehension of suitability. What adds a plus to your goal, or what is a minus and cause obstruct your goals? You see, the Buddha taught us to be purposeful, not be swayed by non-goals or bad aims. That's his things. In fact, in one time, in the Majjhima Nikaya, one sutta, the Buddha taught the monk, in a place when people give you all the good food, all the best care, if your meditation doesn't progress, leave. But in a place when you don't, there's a scarcity of food, you don't get enough food, you don't get enough care, people even don't treat you respectfully, but if your meditation progress, stay on. What is this? Pragmatism. Purposefulness. Remember that. And then the teaching of the Buddha has a quality of universality. Akaliko. That's timeless. These two qualities are important. Universality and timelessness. When just as a gravity, you go every part of the earth, you experience that yourself. You know, the law of science, same. Similarly, the teaching of the Buddha, anicca, dukkha, anatta, and the paticca samuppada, dependent origination. You can see that in these five aggregates, you can see that in your own five aggregates. And in fact, in the Vipassana practice, you take the internal object as object and take the external object as object. Look at the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. Internal, external, then both internal and external. Can you read the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta? You look at the, when you practice Vipassana, you take the object of past, future, present, internal, external, gross and subtle, superior, inferior, near and far. You take all these 11 ways, all these objects, everything covered. Why? Because there is a hidden potential, anusaya, default state in the mind. There's a potential. So when you practice, you cover everything. The Buddha didn't say that only anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, suffering, and non-self only occur internally. No. You check for yourself externally. Is that so? And both internally, externally. You check. You cannot say, oh no, it's what happened now. In the past, not. In the future, not. It will not be. No. You can practice directly taking in Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. And many suttas the Buddha taught like that. Past, future, present. Of course, when you meditate upon it, you use presence of mind. You don't daydream. Pachupanna, presence of mind. But you are able to take past, present, future object and see the nature. Is it true? Anicca, dukkha, anatta? External, external, is it true? I see for yourself. So this universality, anicca, dukkha, anatta, paticca, samuppada, etc. You will see for yourself. Universal and timeless. Now you practice like that, tomorrow you practice same. Future, same. This life, next life, same. Timeless. Of course, in timeless, in the Buddha's teaching has another more substantial meaning. That means when the person realizes Magganyana, the path knowledge, and then the fruition knowledge comes immediately without gap. That is exactly what is referred to as akaliko, timeless, without a gap. But we can also have see in a broader sense, timeless. Timelessness. Then the next thing about science. The science is proving the Buddha's teaching more and more. Very wonderful. More and more. Now we read about the different level of time. At different height, different place. I'm sure everyone has experience on GPS, right? You are using your phone and GPS. You go to the mountain, which height, then you see you know the height, altitude, where you reach, when you use GPS. How? Because the clock clicks differently in higher place and on the ground. You try to check it out. You can find this in YouTube. The time. Time concept is different in different places. and you read up Albert Einstein's theory, time is not a fixed thing. Time is changeable. Now people cannot imagine. Those days when we read about the suttas, the Buddha said, oh, in the Chatumaharajika Deva, there were four great kings. Right? The Deva, realm of four great kings. Chatumaharajika Deva, one day in Chatumaharajika Deva, human life 50 years. In Tawatingsa, the higher Deva realm, one day, human life 100 years. In the Yama Deva, 200 years human life. Tushita, 400 years. So now, the Buddha passed away less than a week in Tushita. So that's why I encourage you, sometimes you read, it's good to read our suttas in Pali, because to them it's still fresh in your mind, you know. Just 7 days, the Buddha passed away. So if they happen to hear us reciting Pali chanting, then you feel good about it, you know? Oh, you're still reciting the same, like what the Buddha recite. So like that. So now, these things, which people think of it like it's a fanciful, how can it be? Isn't it time all the same? No, it's very strange. Time is a very wonderful concept. In fact, the scientists are still exploring about it. Not conclusive yet. The research into time is still not conclusive. But the Buddha has said, time is not fixed. It's not something fixed. It's just another dimension. It's not fixed. Okay? And then the space, our understanding about space also changed when we practice Dhamma. Now, I just read up. There are different says. In the universe, according to standard lambda CDM model of cosmology, the mass energy content of the universe is 5% ordinary matter, 26.8% dark matter, and 68.2% a form of energy known as dark energy. So much is unknown. Dark energy, dark matter, scientists can measure, but they cannot prove it yet. But they can measure. Why? Because certain phenomena, if in the absence of this dark energy and dark matter, it will not come about. For example, the galaxy turning. The turning of this galaxy is very fast. So, according to our understanding of movement, all will be thrown out. All the masses of the galaxy should be thrown out. Because of the fast turning, it should thrown out long ago. But why? The galaxy still stick to it as it's itself. Because of certain gravity pull, certain energy there. And then they can calculate the energy that keep the galaxies together must be strong enough to keep them together. But these force that supposed to be so strong are not seen. Okay, there are a lot more. The dark energy, dark matter is a, you check out Wikipedia. There's so much of it. But it's enough to say that there's so much more unknown to science. So much more. And in the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha thought so much about another world. A world within the world. Yeah. You think that another world is very far from us? No. Very near to us. In fact, superimposed. You know? But this, again, of course, if people want to be doing this for science sake, can do. You can do this research by your meditation. But most people meditate for liberation because you cannot study enough science. You cannot study enough. But it is enough proof through the yogi's experience that there's a world within the world. There are so much forces unknown and unseen by our modern science yet. So now, this is the wonders, the Buddha's teaching. But the main thing is not for scientific curiosity. The main thing the Buddha taught all this teaching is for the overcoming of suffering. And then the Dhamma has the quality of all-encompassing. It's just a bit same. You talk about timelessness, same. You talk about all-encompassing. Anicca, dukkha, anatta, Paticca-samuppada, all encompassing. There's one more thing that the science cannot imagine. Because when the science study only on all formations, sankhara, all things that are conditioned and arise and pass away. But the Buddha's teaching is not only that. The Buddha shows us another possibility. The possibility beyond the conditioned state. The state that arise and pass away. That is Nibbana. The permanent happiness. And what is it? The Buddha said this is to be realized by the wise. So, now, if nowadays, we don't need to, shouldn't try to copy, also we don't really need to copy other religions' ways of brainwashing the disciples. No, we don't do this. In fact, we should make good use of the strength of the Buddhist teaching, the science part of it, the scientific part of it, the verifiable part of it. Let's prove for ourselves. Once you prove for yourself, even people want to take away your life, can you disbelieve what you see? Yeah, for life's sake, yeah, something you say. Well, if you put a knife on my head, tell me there's no sun in the sky, no moon, no stars. Yeah, I will say so. Yeah, maybe. Some people, for life's sake. Okay, well. But can you disbelieve what you see? No. What you have, yatha bhutang jnana dasana, you have seen as they really are with wisdom, you cannot turn back. That we call irreversible knowledge, irreversible wisdom. And that is that type of wisdom that secure your life, our life in the realms of birth and death. So let's, for the sake of our own welfare, for our own benefit, let's practice and don't squander this golden opportunity to prove the Buddha's teaching for the sake of true happiness. And when we do that for ourselves, we make ourselves a vessel of the Buddha's teaching. The real vessel of the Buddha's teaching is not in books, in this and that. It is in our thought, speech and action, in our mind and body, that we live up to the Buddha's teaching and then we prove it. And then this is how we pass down the lineage of the Buddha's teaching from generation to generation. And that is how we may contribute our bit to the world. Even though it may go slow, this way is slow. Because it needs to help everyone to see. Because everyone can only see that for themselves. For himself or herself. You know? But it is very sure way. Very reliable way. And very firm, very steady way. Let's make good use of this strength of the Buddha's teaching. This very special aspect of the Buddha's teaching, which is, it is not a belief system. It is science. Just that we need to tap into the scientific part of it. Okay, let's do it together. Okay, listen after me. Yidang me punyang. Asawakaya. Wahang hotu. May these merits enable me overcome causes of suffering. Idang me punya nibbana sa pachaya hotu. May this merit be a supporting condition for my realization of nibbana. Mama punya bhaga sabba sattana bhajemi te sabbe me sama punya bhaga labantu. I share my merits with all beings. May all beings take part equally in the merits I cultivate.
In the merits I cultivate.
Sorry.
sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.